I want to preach this morning having a thought. The title of the message is Abilities, an Act to Serve in the Church, or Abilities to Serve the Lord. You know, you've got to have some abilities to serve the Lord. Now, some of you are wondering what they are, and if you'll just stay with me, I'm just going to preach on two of them this morning. But let's read in Ephesians chapter 5 and begin to read in verse 22. And the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Read one more verse. "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. So he that loveth his wife loveth himself." You can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this lovely day that you've given us. And Lord, we thank you for the choir singing. And Lord, the congregational singing this morning. I'm glad that your blood is on my soul, because I come and I trusted you one Sunday night. You applied your blood and that to me. And Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, if there's somebody here today that's lost, that's never been saved, I pray you might speak to their heart and deal with them by the sweet Holy Spirit, that they might come and get saved today. Lord, while we preach, I pray that you'd give us an unction from the Holy One, touch us and anoint us afresh. And Lord, for we certainly need your help. Preach us now in the way that you'd have us to preach. And Lord, let me be very attentive in that to the Holy Spirit, how we should preach. And Lord, help the one that might need help and save that sinner's nearest tail. Come by and touch today. And we're looking for you to move for these things. In Jesus' name, we do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, we preach this a lot of times, and that in the context of how a husband and a wife are to love one another, and how a home is to be dealt with, and all those things in the submission and in the direction of the home. And he does deal with that in these scriptures, but he deals with the church also. As a matter of fact, he talks about right here, he talks about in verse 22 and verse 23, he talks about how that wives are to submit to their own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. And then he says this, even as Christ is the head of the church. And so we know that Christ is the head of the church today. I mean, listen, the church is called what? The body of Christ. Had it not been for the Apostle Paul, I don't believe we would have ever known and that about the body of Christ. And then he comes on down in the next verse, and in verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto who? Subject unto Christ. The church is to be subject unto Christ. He said in verse 25 that husbands are to love their wives, even as Christ also loved who? The church, and gave himself for it. Can I tell you today that the Lord is a church person today? Amen? And I believe that if he's a church person, I believe that we should be church people also. Amen? Listen, we see the importance of the church in these scriptures, that Christ died for the church. Do you realize that if you're saved, let me say this today, that if you're unsaved, Christ died for you. Ain't that a wonderful thought today, that Christ died for every sinner that there's ever been? The Bible said in Luke chapter 10, or Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, he said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Hey, I found myself lost in a Baptist church. I got saved in a Baptist church, not because they were Baptists, but because the Bible got preached. I knew the truth and come, and he accepted me the way that I was, and saved me that day. Hey, ain't that wonderful that God will save sinners today? Amen. Thankful for that today. Amen. Because that's all I was and all I am, is just an old saved sinner today. But we see the importance of the church. We see the relationship of the church. It's just like the husband with a wife. See, that's the relationship that he has. And as a perfect relationship, he should have it with us. And we know that Christ and that ordained the church, which is his body today. Now, if you don't figure this out by the end of this message, there's something wrong with you today. I'm a church man. Not only am I a church man, as in that if you get saved, you're placed into the body of Christ, but I believe in the local church. I believe as we look at this here in a minute, we're going to see that all work for Christ is done through the local church. It's done through the local assembly. Does that mean that you've got to wear a t-shirt or a shirt that says, I'm from Unity Baptist Church, and ring a bell everywhere that you go and say, I'm part of this church and I'm doing my work? No, that's not what I'm saying. But listen, Christ died for the church. He ordained the church. You're going to see that it's the church that does His work and gets His work done. Amen. You cannot work for God outside the local assembly. He expects you to be part of a local assembly. And the only way to get part of the local assembly is to get saved and become part of the church and then join and take part in the local assembly. Can I say that the church was a mystery from the beginning? You know, the Old Testament don't talk about the church. The church was hid. Talk about the body of Christ. How that Jew and Gentile was going to be put into one body in Christ and make up the church. That was hid. That was a mystery. Paul talks about the mystery in Ephesians 3 and Colossians 1. It was a mystery. Can I tell you that in Acts 8, it was the church that was persecuted? Who was Saul of Tarsus persecuting? Well, he's persecuting the church. Take your Bible and go to Acts chapter 8. Look with me right here, Acts chapter 8. And I'll get started. By the way, my introduction will probably be longer than my message will be, by the way. Acts chapter 8. Look with me in verse 1. The Bible said, and Saul was consenting unto his death, talking about Stephen. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, see there, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the what? Of the church. Entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Now read the next verse. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. You realize it was under persecution that God got the word scattered out. You ever wonder why the word don't get put out today? We're not under much persecution, are we? Amen. Hey, every time, I remember Larry Seals saying it, every time that Satan tried to stomp out the fire and that of the church, the embers just scattered, and the more he stomped, the brighter it got. And so he figured out it was better to fight from within than it is from without. You know what he's done to the church? We're like the church of Laodicea. We don't want anything because we've got everything that we want. And we become sleepy on the Lord. And we become lazy on the Lord. Why should we serve? We've got everything that we could possibly need. But the church, it was a church that was persecuted. The church is made up of people. The Bible said in Acts chapter 12, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. Persecution. It was the church that was persecuted. It was the church that Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 14, after they'd been on their mission trip, they come in and they told everything to who? The church. In Acts chapter 15, when Paul was being brought along on his mission trip, and the Bible says it was the church that brought him. It was the church that funded him and brought him where he needed to be. Now, are you catching on that the church is a big thing this morning? It is the church that gets the work of God done. It is the church that you need to belong to. It's a church that you need to take part in today. You become a member of, if you'll let me say this, the body of Christ, being the church by being saved, but you become a member of a local assembly by joining, and you need to join if you've not joined. You need to say, hey, this is where I want to go to church at. This is where I want to take part at. I'd like to help these folk, and that in serving God. He wants the church to work. You believe that today? Do you believe that He wants this church to work and serve Him? He wants you as a Christian to serve Him, and He wants this church as a local body and that of Christ to serve Him and work. He wants me to preach the truth. He wants me to feed you. Friend, He wants us to praise Him. But as Brother Anthony said Wednesday night, our service does not end in this building. It really starts when we go outside. And so we see that you need to be part of the church. We are to serve the Lord through the church. Romans chapter 16, Paul said in verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchreae. He said in Titus 1, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ. James 1, James said, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1, Simon Peter, a servant. Are you catching on to all this? A servant, a servant, a servant. Jude said, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1, John was called his servant, John. I think the greatest servant we see is in Philippians chapter 2, when the Bible said, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Is that not what Christ has done for us? Did Christ not leave everything that he had? Did Christ not leave all his riches and the portals of glory and the portals of heaven? And he come down here and had to be made in our flesh, in our likeness, so that he could serve God, so that he could die for us and become a servant. And that servant him and took our sins and placed them on him. And he was willing to do that, knowing what it was like, or not knowing what it was not like, but was willing to take sin for us so that we could go free. Ain't that wonderful today? Christ was a servant. Is that not what he done? The Bible said that he laid his coat off over there and girded himself with a towel and washed his disciples' feet. And he was teaching them service. Now I'm going somewhere with this, okay? He was teaching them service. A servant is one that attends to another for the purpose of performing some offices for him or who is employed by another for such offices or for labor that is subject at his command. One that is in the state of subjection to him, and one who voluntarily serves another or acts as his minister, just as Joshua was Moses' minister, and one who yields obedience to another. So I believe this morning we see that we are to be a servant of the Lord, but we serve, and that through the church. Again, we don't ring a bell and say, I'm from Unity Baptist Church, I'm here to knock on your door and witness to you, or I'm here to have compassion on you, and all those things. We do those because we are part of the church, because we are saved, and that's what, are you following me this morning? I just want to make sure that we understand this. I want to make sure that I get through, because I'm going to preach on abilities in serving the Lord in the church. Do you know that, let me say this, if you're going to play this piano and so folk can sing with it, you probably would have an ability to play that thing. Me and Jeff have a lot of fun sometimes, or a little fun. I say, you want me to lead singing and you play the piano. Now that could be exciting. It really could, because you know what? I can lead singing a little bit. But I don't think he can play a lick on that piano. That could be an exciting Sunday morning service. Boy, you're talking about being in disharmony and discord. That's for sure. Amen. I'm just picking on Brother Jeff. Y'all know that. But let me say this. In serving the Lord, there's only two abilities that you have to have. Number one, the ability in serving the Lord in the church, whether inside these four walls or outside these four walls, there's only two abilities you have to have. And first of all, number one is the one of availability. See, y'all thought it was going to be hard today, didn't you? You know, all God wants from us to serve Him is for us to be available. You know what the word available means? The word available means able to be used or obtained or to be at someone's disposal. Has anybody ever told you this in working a public job? We pay you for 8 hours, so you'll do whatever. If you want a job, you'll go do whatever we ask you to do. We were all cross-trained when I worked a public job, when I worked over in Etowah. And I'll be honest with you, it was a little rough when you had to leave your job and go work somebody else's job because they laid out. But they were paying you for 8 hours to do whatever they asked you to do. And in serving the Lord, it's really the same way. He saved you. He's keeping you. And all He's asking you to do is serve Him. He's just asking you to be available wherever He might want to use you at. Isaiah chapter 6, after Isaiah gets right with God, the Bible says he saw God for who He was, high and lifted up. He saw Himself as a sinner. And in verse 8, the Bible said, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." He said, "I'm right here, Lord. I'm available. Send me. I want you to use me. I'm available. I have availability. That's the only ability that I have, Lord. I don't know much. I don't have much. But I'm available. And if you'll use me, I'll go where you want me to go." I was going to make this statement later on in the message. But do you know why God uses ordinary men and women in extraordinary conditions and extraordinary places and allows them to do extraordinary things for Him? Because they were available. Right here, Lord, I just want to be used. Now, to make us available, to get ourselves available, we've got to get in a place to where we are available. In other words, you have to do what Isaiah done first. He saw God, and then he saw himself for what he was and who he was, and that he was a sinner and that there was sin in his life. And he had to get that sin. Do you know that if there's sin in your life, you're not available? God ain't going to use you. You're not available. 2 Timothy chapter 2 said, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." He's talking about getting sins out of our life right there, purging himself from these. Listen, he said that we would be meet for the master's use. In other words, we would be good, it would be right, we'd be in the right place where God could use us. Are we available? Are we where God can use us? Are we holding on to our plans? You know that if your plans and God's plans line up, man, that's the best place to be. Lord, I'm available. Here's kind of the way I talk to the Lord, I guess, sometimes. Lord, I'm available if you want me to go in this direction over here. Now, if you need me to go over here, I'm really not all that available today. But if you'd like me to be available, I'll be over here. That ain't how it works. It's kind of like you come up to a fork in the road and you say, "Lord, I'm available. Now, which fork do you want me to take?" And that's what He wants out of us. He wants us to be available. And listen, when your plans and God's plan or God's plan line up with your plans or vice versa, man, that's the best place to be. You just gotta say, "Lord, I just want to be where you want me to be at." And if you're where God wants you to be and you're being available and being used by God right where you're at, then you're where you need to be. That's it. You have availability. Sometimes I ask myself the question, do we want to be used or do I just want to hide in the corner? If I ain't careful, I will hide behind the fact that I pastor this church and that I'm the chaplain of the nursing home and that I preach a minimum of 4 times a week. I'll hide behind that. When maybe I need to be available to go do some witnessing. When maybe I need to be available to go knock on doors. When maybe I need to be available and to study my Sunday school lesson a little more than what I do sometimes. I'm just saying, sometimes we hide behind what we're already doing for God when the Lord might want us to do a little more. Lord, I do sing on Sundays, you know, or on Wednesdays. You know, the Lord wants you to be available on the job. I remember hearing a feller talk one time. He worked up at Oak Ridge. And he said there was two men that me and another feller always witnessed to. And he said we went outside to eat lunch and he said we were around there by like some compressors, some equipment. He said we were basically hid. He said nobody could see us back there. And he said we would go back there and eat our lunch. Many other gentlemen would, and we'd witness to these two fellers and trying to get them saved and want to get them saved. And he said one day, he said, "Old boy come sliding in a company truck back there." Said he jumped out of that truck. Said he was red faced could be. And said he stood there and preached to us for 5 minutes and then got back in his truck and drove off.
And he said there wasn't none of the four of us knew what to do with that. He said we looked dumbfounded at each other. Now why'd that happen? Because that boy that was red-faced driving in that company pickup truck was available. I don't know if them boys ever got saved. I don't believe they did. But it wasn't from the lack of somebody being available. Those two men that were witnessing to him were being available to be a witness to him. You understand? I'm not talking about it, that it's always great big things. Sometimes it's just what we consider little things. Need to be available. That scared me to death, preacher, if I had to come sliding in there and jump out of the truck. But I'm going to tell you, if you'll be available, there's no telling what God might have you do. I told you the story of me coming home, and I have no idea what the Lord wanted out of me because I never did stop and I never did find out. Coming home out of Lenore City, and man, all the way down that highway, come through Lenore City and into Loudoun, there's a co-op down there on the right. And you'll never convince me any different of what the Lord was telling me. He said, all I want you to do is stop. You just need to stop in there. You need to stop. I didn't know if He wanted me to preach. I didn't know if He wanted me to hand out tracts. I didn't know what the Lord wanted. And I remember watching the co-op go by as I drove by. And I got down there on the south end of Philadelphia. And I remember telling the Lord, man, He was beating the thaw out of me. And I remember finally just saying, all right, I'll turn around and I'll go back. And He said, nope, too late. You know, by the time we get available sometimes, it's done too late. Now, I'll answer for that at the judgment seat of Christ. Sometimes we got to be available when God wants us to be available. You got to make preparations to be available. What do you mean? Preacher wants to preach, he needs to study and pray. I've got a friend of mine. Before he started pastoring, man, he would study all the time. I mean, God called him to preach, he'd study. He studied, stayed very well versed in that scripture, and he was studying. And so one day a boy called him, said, won't you come up here to Crossville and preach revival for me? He's working probably 10 hours a day, and listen, and I mean, they started that revival off, and you know what, that thing went on for 2 weeks. I mean, it broke out in revival up there, and for 2 weeks that man left and went and preached revival, day in and day out, working a public job and still preaching day in and day out. How did he do that? It was all that time that he was making himself available back here, studying and reading and getting prepared for what was going to happen out here, although he didn't have a clue as what was going to happen out here. Sometimes you've got to make preparations to be available. Lord, I want to preach. I want to be where you want me to be. And sometimes we just got to get in that place. I want to be a soul winner, preacher. I want to see folk won. And after you, do you pray for sinners? Do you carry tracts in your pocket? Do you go search out the lost? It's like wanting to help the homeless. Do you know that you're not going to be able to help the homeless sitting in your house? You've got to go to where the homeless are. Now, don't that matter? If you want to give them a cup of water and some soup to drink, don't you have to go where they're at? Because they sure ain't coming where you are. Do you know, we just... The lost ain't just rushing in here, are they? To get saved. What are we to do, church? Well, we're to be available and go out and win the lost, ain't we, so that we can get them into church. Availability. Serving in the church, you've got to be available. Serving the Lord in the church, you've got to be available. You've got to be here. Got to be faithful to be here. And that brings me to number two. Not only do you have to have the availability, but then you have to have dependability. God won't use somebody He can't depend on. I thought about all this while I was studying this message. When the money gets took up, Brother Tom and Brother Randy mostly take it up. Brother Tony helps sometimes. But when it's all said and done, Brother Randy comes and counts the money. Do you know that I've never had to say one time, Brother Randy, will you go count the money? He's dependable. You can depend on him to come and count the money. Do you know that I don't have to worry about going to the bank and cashing my check? You know, when I get a check from Miss Evelyn and my wife goes and puts it in the bank and she gets all my money? Amen. Do you know that I don't have to worry about it being there? You know why? Because Miss Evelyn is dependable to go put that money in the bank. I don't have to say, Miss Evelyn, did you go to the bank, make those deposits? Nope, never said that. Don't have to ask Brother Randy to come up here and count the money. He takes care of it. And I'm just using these as just some little things. What about in our Christian life? You know, the Bible said in Proverbs chapter 25 that confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. I remember preaching on that on Wednesday night. You ever had a broken foot? I've never had a broken foot, but boy, I sure have had a tooth out of joint. You ever had a tooth go bad? That thing makes your whole body hurt, don't it? Do you know that when somebody that is supposed to be depended on in the church is become undependable, makes the whole body hurt, don't it? He's looking for availability, but he's looking for dependability. The Bible said in Proverbs 10, is vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is to the sluggard, to them that send him. The sluggard's the lazy man. Dependable means to rely on or to rest with confidence, to trust. We need to be available, but then we need to be dependable to serve the Lord. I shouldn't have to, and other people shouldn't have to worry about coming in here on Sunday morning and wondering if we got Sunday school teachers. I had one pastor friend of mine, man, it was hit or miss whether he was going to have some Sunday school teachers sometimes. And man, that just frustrated him to know, and I guess it would. It'd frustrate me too. If I come in here and was dependent on folk to do their job, hey, you all depend on me to be here, don't you? What if I just didn't show up one Sunday morning? Didn't tell nobody that I wasn't coming, just didn't say I ain't going to show up, just didn't show up and wasn't here. What's going to happen? Well, we'd figure it out. Yeah, you'd figure it out, but should you have to figure it out? You're depending on me to do my job, ain't you? You know, the Lord is depending on you to do your job. He's depending on me to do mine. Whatever your job may be, whatever He wants you to do that you've been available with, He wants you to be faithful in it and wants me to be faithful in it too. He's depending on me not only to stand in this pulpit, but I need to be dependable and that to read my Bible and study and pray and spend time in that meditating in the Word of God so I can get what you need. Let's be honest this morning. I don't like undependable preachers. God don't like undependable preachers. Folk ought to just be dependable. And when you can't be dependable, you at least ought to tell somebody, hey, I can't do this right now. I remember listening to Brother Olaf. He was preaching ordination service one time. He told the preacher, he said, while he was preaching, he said, if you make a bill, you pay it. He said, you pay your bills. And he says, you need to be dependable in paying your bills. And he said, if for some reason you can't pay your bill come Monday morning, you be standing there at that man's office or desk or wherever and telling him why you can't pay that bill. Just don't let it go. Be dependable. We can't let other things get in our way to be dependable. You ever had a choice between doing two things and they were both something that you wanted to do, but yet you could only do one? And so you had to make a choice. This is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to let this one go, or I'm going to do this one or let this one go. You know, in serving the Lord, it ends up that way sometimes. We're either going to serve the Lord or we're going to go do this. This is something we want to do, or He's wanting us to do this over here. Now, if we're going to be dependable, we're going to have to let go of what we want to do and go do what He wants us to. And I've always found out when I let go of what I want to do and be dependable in what He wants me to do and what I have agreed to do and what I've said I wanted to do. You know, there's a lot of other things I'd like to do come Friday morning sometimes than go to the nursing home. I mean, that's Friday, man. There's a lot of things going on Fridays. There's always a good tool sale somewhere, good estate sale, man, go spend some money at. Always something going on. But you know what? I took that and said, I'll be here every Friday morning at 10:30. And I want to be dependable. Because you know what? Them folk are sitting there waiting on me to get there. And they want to hear something from the Lord. And let me park right here and say this. It's amazing that God would even want to use us. But I love it when He does.
I love it because I have been available and because I have been dependable. I said, yeah, Lord, this is what I'll go do. This is what you want me to do. This is what I'll do. And listen, I say that as in I do that all the time. I don't do that all the time. I mess it up. I'm not always been dependable. I'll probably not always be dependable. But I try to be. I try to have that ability in serving the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to be dependable. I want to have dependability in serving you. You know, the Lord wants somebody that He can use and trust. 1 Corinthians, Paul said, let a man so count of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that man be found faithful. He just wants somebody dependable. Faithful and dependable. Matthew chapter 25. Take your Bible and go to Matthew 25. I'm fixing to close. I told you I wasn't going to spend long. Are you available and are you dependable? Do you have those two abilities? Availability and dependability. You say, I can't do much. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, if you will be available and if you will be dependable, there is no telling what God can do in your life. That's why God takes men and women that can't even read and uses them in such great ways because they were available and because they were dependable. Look at Matthew chapter 25. Let's back up here. Let me see if I can find where we need to be in Matthew 25. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and unto another to another, and two, and to another one, to every man according to his several, look at there, ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. You know, there's always a reckoning day, ain't there? And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a what? Few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter down into the joy of the Lord. Joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now notice what's going on. They had been what? They had been available and they had been what? Dependable to do the trading, hadn't they? And so he said, you've been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. You know, until we're available and dependable in the little things, God's not going to use our availability nor dependability in the big things. A lot of people want to start out big. They never want to start out small. Verse 24. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. So he makes excuses, first of all, for why he ain't done what he needed to do. And he said, I was afraid, and I buried it. And he said, it's still in the ground. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath it. I got a feeling in reading that scripture there that if we're not going to be faithful, if we're not going to be available and dependable, and God just gives us a little something to do and we'll not be available and dependable in it, then I really don't believe the Lord's going to let us go any further. Why would He? If we're not available in the little things and dependable in the little things, why would He let us go on and serve Him in the big things? But when our heart is right and we want to be have that availability and have that dependability, that God can use, there is no telling what God can do with us when we'll just be available and be dependable. Let's bow our heads this morning. First of all, let me ask you, have you ever been saved? Greatest question you'll ever have an answer to is, have I ever been saved? Yes. I know I'm saved, preacher. I know that I'm going to heaven. I know that He forgave me of my sins. I know that He died for me and took my place. I know that He saved me from hell, and I don't have to go there. If we know those things, and we believe those things, and we know beyond a shadow of doubt that He has saved us and that He has called us into His body and made us part of the church, then why do we not have availability nor dependability? You say, preacher, I've got it. That's good. That's good. I'm not. You keep on having it. You keep on having availability and dependability. You keep on having those abilities. But you're not the one that I'm really preaching to this morning. I'm preaching to the one this morning that you want God to use you when you want Him to, and then you want to do your thing when you want to. Or maybe you've just never really got serious about serving the Lord. You might be in a place right now where God is wanting you to do something for Him. He's wanting you to sell out to Him, sell your family out to Him, but yet you're holding back on Him. You're not really wanting to be available. You're not wanting to have that availability. Why not? Why do you not want to be available for the Lord this morning? If you're doing something for the Lord today, be dependable in it. Be faithful in it. He just wants you to be faithful to Him and serve Him. If you need to come and pray, I want you to come this morning. Anybody in the house?